We are honored this morning to have Dr. Rusty Smith here speaking in chapel. He is the pastor of Mikado Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. He's married his wife, Lisa, and they have two children, Scott and their daughter, Joy. Scott, I met this past weekend, is the assistant pastor of the Highlands Baptist Church down in Lakeland, Florida. I have preached numbers of times in Pastor Smith's ministry. I have always had a great respect and love and appreciation for him, his passion, his leadership ability, and I know you'll be blessed as he comes and speaks to us this morning.
Thank you, Dr. Pettit. Thanks for the opportunity to be here at Bob Jones. I first met Dr. Pettit when I was a counselor at the Wilds Christian Camp back in 1985, where I counseled there. Then my son and daughter counseled there as well. I know we have a lot of camps here this week. I encourage you to get involved in a ministry during the summer. It'll change your life. It's phenomenal, and I appreciate so much the opportunity, Dr. Pettit, to be here today. Well, take your Bibles, go to Daniel, please, if you will. Daniel chapter number 6 this morning. Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel's one of my favorite Bible characters. He and Joseph are two of my favorites just because of their character and integrity. In fact, I believe that if you cut them, they would bleed integrity. They would bleed character. In fact, these were guys who were, it was critical in their life to love God and to serve God. If I ask you this question this morning, and I said this, how many of you would love to get a reward? Probably everybody would raise their hand. And there's several kinds of rewards you can get. What, number one is a verbal award. Somebody comes up to you and they says, hey, you've done a great job. They pat you on the back. They shake your hand, high five, whatever. And they say, man, you just did an awesome job. In fact, John Maxwell says everybody wants to be affirmed. So we all like to have some affirmation if we could say verbally. Second kind of reward would be a visible award. And that's where somebody gives you a plaque or a trophy, something like that, you know, and you have that, and you, they present it to you, whether it's MVP or you did a great job or whatever. So, you know, there is the verbal award, there's a visible award, but then there is, number three, a valuable award. That's what I like. Because that means that is something that's going to be a check in your hand, some type of cash award. I mean, whatever the reward is that you received it because of during that time in your life, you had one character quality that was evident. In fact, if you don't have this character quality in your school, you're going to fail. If you don't have it in your job, you're going to get fired. If you don't have it in athletics, you're going to ride the pine, as they say, or you're going to sit the bench. If you don't have it in your spiritual life, you're going to be miserable. In fact, if you don't have this quality we're about to talk about in your life, you'll never be a success in man's eyes, but more importantly, in God's eyes, it's the quality of faithfulness. And I want you to see Daniel chapter 6 this morning, and I want us to see a very familiar passage of Scripture. We begin in verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. It pleased Darius to set over the whole kingdom 120 princes, which should be over his whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Now look at verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. There's an interesting word picture there with the word preferred. We have a Christmas drama, a big thing, as most churches do at Christmas time. And at Mikado, a couple thousand people will come to that. And we'll have these different performances, if we could say. And we always include the kids, because if you get the kids included, then usually parents and grandparents are come. So there's a reason we do that. But almost every time the little girls would come, they sit on the front row where our staff sits, because there's no room really for us to sit on the platform anymore. And the little girls would come and they'll sit there in their real pretty frilly dresses that their moms have bought for them. And they will always leave something when they get up. I mean, it happens every time. In fact, I'll tell our maintenance guys, I say, guys, be sure and clean the front pews there. Because if they don't, when I sit down there where they have sat before and I get up to walk to the platform, I'm going to have this stuff called glitter all over my backside. I mean, I hate glitter. You get those Hallmark cards, you know, and you got glitter all over your hands. Then you wipe your face. You got glitter things. I don't care how tough or cool you are. It's all over you. Do you know what an interesting word in the Hebrew for preferred is? To glitter from afar. In other words, you could see Daniel and his character and his integrity from afar. There was something about Daniel, if we could say, that glittered. Now let's keep rolling, verse number 3. The Bible says, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. I love this phrase, for as much as he was faithful. I believe with all my heart in God's eyes, faithfulness does matter. Would you bow with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here at Bob Jones today. Lord, I don't take this lightly. It's an incredible privilege. Thank you for these students that are here. I pray for the ones in Ministry Chapel who are hearing Rand Hummel this morning. God, I pray, Father, that we'll not just sit here and just kind of zone out. I pray, God, you'll help us to soak, help us to be a sponge and to take in what we need. And God, if you step on our toes, may we be willing to listen. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe if you found Daniel's grave, you'd see one word etched across it. It's the word faithful. You say, okay, what does faithful mean? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means loyal, accurate, or reliable. Daniel was a man that was reliable. You say, okay, Smith, how do you know that? Well, you just simply follow the trail, the breadcrumbs. Chapter 1, verse 3, Nebuchadnezzar says, choose you out the best men among the children of Israel, the king's lineage and princes. Guess who? They pick a guy by the name of Daniel. You go to chapter 2. Daniel interprets the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. He is promoted to rule over the whole province of Babylon and over all the governors, over all the wise men. Chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Chapter number 4, Daniel interprets another dream for Nebuchadnezzar. You go to chapter 5, he interprets the handwriting on the wall for a guy by the name of Belshazzar. He tells him, hey, dude, your days are numbered. And then we get to the chapter we just read. And you think by this time, man, he's got to be worn out. I mean, serving God has been tough. But Daniel has other things in mind. I'm giving you two simple points this morning. Number one, the requirements for faithfulness. What are the requirements for faithfulness? I wrote down in my notes, number one, I believe the first requirement is commitment. Commitment says this. It says, I will do it. In other words, the word commitment carries with it the meaning not to be swayed or to bind as by a promise. Let me give you another word picture. You've probably seen a horse and buggy before, and on that horse that's pulling a buggy down the street, he's got these two little black things that are on either side of his eyes. They're called blinders. And the reason they put those on that horse is so that it will stay focused. If a car comes by and honks the horn, they got to make sure that horse doesn't bolt or go crazy because those passengers won't like that. It's keeping that horse focused. I have a private pilot's license that I received when I was a youth pastor in 1989. And as I was learning to fly small airplanes, one of the things that my instructor taught me, he said, two of the most critical things that you better be focused on when you're landing this airplane is altitude and airspeed. Because if you don't stay focused on that, either one of those will kill you. You see, the idea of commitment is, hey, I will do it. I will stay focused. But what was Daniel committed to? He was committed, first of all, to a purpose. Back up, hit reverse, let your fingers do the walk, and go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Look what the Bible says. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, etc. The word purpose means to set or plant. I had the privilege of working with a football team when I was at Philadelphia Christian School in Conyers, Georgia. I worked with your assistant athletic director here, Wyatt Parker. He and I worked together, and many times we'd be out there on the football field together, and we would teach our guys that when you get in a stance when you're on the line, and I'm going to step out, you're going to lose me over here, but when you get with your guys and you're on a stance on the front line, we taught our guys to stand with their feet as close as they could together and then bend over. You say, if you taught your guys like that, you're crazy. You're exactly right, because they'd get knocked over like a bowling pin in a bowling alley. We taught our guys to have a wide stance. We taught our guys that when you hear the word hike, you're fired off the ball. You see, that's the idea here of the word purpose. The word purpose here means to plant. In other words, Daniel said, hey, I'm committed to be faithful to my God. I am committed to a purpose. What was his purpose? He was going to do what was right. In fact, verse number 7 of chapter 1, they change all their names, but I wrote down they couldn't change their nature. They changed what they were called, but they couldn't change their character. So here's my question to you. Let me jump in the seat with you. What has the world gotten you to do that you used to not do? Has the world changed you? Daniel was a man who was committed to a purpose. That purpose was to do right. Number two, he was purposed to be right. You say, how do you know that? Chapter 1, verse number 6, look what he says. Three words. Don't miss it when you're reading the Bible. Now among these. You say, what are you talking about? There were more people there than Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, they chose Daniel among a group of people because I believe he'd purpose in his heart to not only do right, he said, hey, I'm going to be right. What are you known for? Somebody that keeps his or her word? You known for your integrity in the dorm room? Are you known for your integrity at work, in the classroom? Are you known for your integrity wherever you're at, your character? You say, Brother Rusty, what difference can I make? On the beach was an elderly man. He was bending over doing something, and some guy that was up in a balcony in a hotel room overlooking the beach saw this man and wondered, hey, what's going on with this guy? And his curiosity got the best of him. He goes down to this old man. He says to the old man, he said, sir, what are you doing? He said, well, on this beach, there are thousands of starfish, and the tide has sent all these starfish in. And he said, I'm taking these starfish, and he said, I'm making sure I put them back in the water so they don't die. The guy that was up on the balcony there who'd come down said, but sir, there's millions or there's miles of beach here, and there's hundreds and hundreds of starfish. He said, what difference can you make? The old man didn't say anything. He just bent down once again and picked up a starfish, and he threw it back in. He said it made a difference to that one. You say, Brother Rusty, I'm just one person. Nobody's watching me. Everybody has a ripple effect, whether you want it or not. Somebody's watching you. And if one person is impacted by your testimony, then thank God. If nobody is, you got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who's watching every single thing that you do. My youth pastor was Evangelist Morris Gleiser at Providence Christian School, where I graduated from in Riverview, Florida. Morris and Lynn, in fact, just joined our church, Mikado Baptist, just a couple weeks ago after he preached a week of revival meetings. And so it's pretty awesome to have my youth pastor, and now I'm his pastor. Never would have thought that in a million years. Morris said his son Andy was getting ready one day at the house they lived. Andy was about 3 years old back then, and he said his son was getting ready, and my wife Lynn had dressed Andy just like me. He said, my boy walked up to me. He said, I was in a hurry to get ready. I was running late for Sunday school. And he said, my boy Andy walked up. He said, hey, Daddy. He said, I got on pants just like you. He said, I know, son, you look cute. He said, hey, Daddy, I got a shirt on just like you. He said, I know, son, you're really looking good. He said, a few minutes later, Andy walked back. He said, by this time, it was really getting old. He said, but I was trying to humor my boy. He said, hey, Daddy. He said, what, son? He said, Daddy. He said, I got a tie on just like yours. He said, I know, son, you look good. Run along. He said, then Andy stopped my 3-year-old boy, he said, and said something I'll never forget. He said, hey, Daddy. He said, I want to be just like you. And then Morris Gleiser said what he said next I'll never forget. He said, does that make you proud of me? If somebody wanted to be just like you, would God be proud? If somebody followed you last week, would God be proud? Hey, have you considered my servant Job? Would God put your name in there? You see, Daniel was a man who was committed. He was committed to a purpose. Commitment says, I will do it. Number two, he was committed to a person. Look at the text, please, and move on to chapter number 2, verse number 19. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, what does the Bible say? Daniel's asked a question. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed himself. And verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of Daniel forever and ever, for I am awesome. Doesn't say that. Because number two, Daniel was committed to a person, the person of God. You see, my friend, how do you think God feels when somebody gives an invitation in this auditorium? God's working on your heart. They're singing Just As I Am, Have Thine Own Way, whatever the song is. You come forward, you kneel, and the first time that you get hit with temptation, you give in. How do you think God feels? Daniel was committed to the person of God. I've met people before that said, you know what? God would never, ever use me. Wait a minute. Moses probably stuttered. He said, hey, I'm not eloquent. God used him. David's armor didn't fit. God used him. John Mark was rejected by Paul. God used him. Solomon was rich. Abraham was old. David was young. God used every one of them. Timothy probably had ulcers. Peter was afraid of death. God used him. Lazarus was dead, gang, and God used him. Don't give me no excuses, all right? Naomi was a widow. God used her. Paul and Moses were both murderers. Paul was probably half blind. God used him. Jonah ran from God. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Elijah was burned out. The bottom line is John the Baptist was loud. Martha was a worrywart. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? And so did Peter. And God used every single one of them. Don't you tell me God can't use me. We don't condone any of those sins that I just mentioned, and neither does God, but God can use anybody who's willing to say, God, forgive me and please use me. See, Daniel was committed to a purpose. Number one, commitment says, I'll do it. Number two, he was committed to a person. Number three is my favorite, chapter 6, verse 3. Look at it if you will. Look what the Bible says, chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred, the word we just explained, above the presidents and princes. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. You know what? He had a good attitude. Let me tell you, I've been pastoring our church for 16 years and been in the ministry for 30. And I'm telling you, one thing that I appreciate is people with good attitudes. I tell our church, I want our church run like a Chick-fil-A. It's good food, good service, and it's clean. I'm serious. I want, when people walk up to you, I want them to say, wow, that's a person with a good attitude. Daniel was that kind of guy. The joy of the Lord was his strength. Sometimes we're like the old negative farmer. You may have heard of this guy. Man, this guy was so incredibly negative. Positive farmer lived next to him, and boy, it would be raining one day, and they had all these crops, and it'd be raining one day, and the positive guy would go over to the negative guy. He said, man, look at this rain. Isn't this awesome? And the negative guy would say, yeah, but if it keeps on raining, it's going to flood our crops. Next day, it'd be sunny, and the positive guy would go over to the negative guy. He'd say, man, look at all of this sun. Isn't God good? And the negative guy would say, yeah, if it keeps on, it's going to scorch everything. He said, man, how in the world can I get this negative guy to be positive? So he took him duck hunting. Sure enough, both of them got in the boat there, and he had a shotgun across his lap. Positive guy did. Negative guy's in the front of the boat. He's got a dog that's in there to go and retrieve the ducks. In fact, he trained the dog to walk on water. Pretty incredible. Two ducks fly over, and sure enough, he takes his shotgun, and he blows both of those ducks out of the water. They go, or out of the air. They go down into the water. That dog jumps out of the boat there. He goes across the water. He gets both of those ducks. He gets back in the boat. The only thing that is wet is the bottom of his paws. The positive guy thinks, he says, man, I got this guy. He says, what do you think of my dog? Negative guy says, can't swim, can he? I don't know about you. Your roommate be like that, but I guarantee you Daniel wasn't. Daniel was a guy who had a good spirit. You know what? Number three, he was committed to praise. He was committed to a purpose. He was committed to the person of God, and he was committed to praise. Commitment says, if you're going to be faithful, I will do it. Number two, it takes consistency. Consistency says, I will do it over and over again. You say, how do you know that? Chapter 6, verse 4. The Bible says, for as much as he was faithful. Now look at chapter 6, verse 16. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake. Listen to what he says. Thy king, whom thou servest continuously. He was faithful. He was consistent. You say, why? Because verse 10, what does he do? He kneels down. He's in a beggar posture. He's coming to God humbly. He's facing Jerusalem, that city that's in ruins, and he's praying to God. You say, big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. Because Daniel is in high government. Daniel knows the penalty for praying. But he was consistent. You see, consistency says, I will do it over and over again. It's like the sculptor who did a thing of Jesus. And when he was done, he put a big sheet over, and he brought some of his good buddies over, and he said, hey, I want you to see this sculpture of Jesus that I did. And he pulled the sheet off, and it was Jesus, and he's bent over like this. His head is facing the ground. He said, what do you think of my sculpture of Jesus? And his friends were very honest with him and said, yeah, that's really neat, but you can't see his face. The guy that did the sculpture of Jesus said, if you want to see his face, you got to get on your knees. Daniel knew how to get on his knees. You say, wait a minute, it was tough. Sure it was. Look in verse number 10. Look at the last part of the verse. The Bible says, as he did aforetime. In other words, he didn't take a 30-day sabbatical from prayer. He was consistent. He simply said, hey, even though when the pressure was on, I am simply going to still be faithful to my God. My son Scott, when he was growing up, liked to lift weights, and on our back porch, we had a weight bench. And my son would say, Dad, every now and then, he said, I want you to spot me. How many of you know what spot me means? Just raise your hand. In other words, you're standing behind to make sure that when he can't lock his arms anymore, I'm there to lift those weights so it doesn't fall down on his chest or his neck and kill him. So Scott gets out there one day, he said, Dad, would you spot me? I said, sure, I'll be glad to. And on that weight bench with those two little V's there holding that bar, he's got just the bar on there. The bar may weigh between 10 or 15 pounds, and Scott's got that bar there, and he's ready, man. He's psyching himself up. He's making sure his arms, his hands are just perfectly aligned, separately apart. And, man, I can see the blood vessels start to pop. He's got just the bar on there, about 10 to 15 pounds. Scott's about 17 years old when we're doing this. You say, just the bar, that's stupid. Yeah, that would be stupid. Because unless you do about 1,000 reps, you're not going to do anything with 10 to 15 pounds. But you slap some 50s on the ends. You put some 25s and some 15s and some 10s, and you lock that collar baller down on both sides. And my son says, Dad, I'm ready. And all of a sudden, he's got 180 to 200 pounds on there. And he puts his arms right across there, and he can see him psyching himself out. And he starts to lift that thing. You say, what are you talking about? Listen carefully. Pressure makes us stronger. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small, Proverbs says. And when you and I go through a hard time like Daniel did, it makes us strong in our faith. Don't quit. Consistency says, I will do it over and over again. But then there's number three, there's a cost. See, the third requirement for faithfulness is not only commitment. Commitment says, I'll do it. Consistency says, I'll do it over and over again. Cost says, I'll do it over and over again, no matter what happens. I will be faithful no matter what happens. Daniel lost his freedom, we know that. He lost his privileges, he couldn't do what he wanted to do anymore. Some of you may not be faithful to God anymore because you had to give up something. Is God not worth it? Daniel lost his finances. He lost his position, his power, his pension. He was stripped of everything. Why? Because being faithful to his God was more important than anything. Let me tell you, friends, stay focused and faithful. You're here for a reason. Stay focused to God. Stay faithful on God. My friend, God wants you to be faithful. The requirements for faithfulness. But there's number two, there's rewards. God always takes care of his kids, and I like that. There are rewards for faithfulness. You say, what are those rewards? I wrote down a couple of them here. Number one, there's contentment. You say, what do you mean? Well, look in the Bible, if you will, please, in verse 16 of chapter 6. We just read it. The Bible says they cast him into the den of lions. Not a great place to be. You say, okay, how do you know then that Daniel was content in his desire or quest for faithfulness? Because he never would have prayed in verse number 10 if he didn't know one of two things. He knew number one, hey, if I die, I'm going to heaven, can't wait. Man, he's going to see Jesus. He knew that. He knew that if he died, he was okay. He was going to heaven. But number two, he knew this, that if he didn't die, he would be on flannel graph boards across America in Sunday school classes for the rest of his life. Some of you don't even know what flannel graph boards are, but thanks for the courtesy laugh. Here's Daniel, and here's the lions. Let me tell you, he had peace. Man, God took care of him. Number two, he had protection. The Bible says in verse number 19, look at the text. It says, then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came in, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, thy God, whom thou servest continually, was he able to deliver thee from the den of lions? As I said, I was a youth pastor for 15 years. My wife still has to remind me, Rusty, you are a pastor. You're not a youth pastor anymore, because I still love to have a good time. But if I'm telling you, if I'm Daniel, I'm hiding behind one of those suckers. And I'm laying down by a lion where that king can't see me, and I'm saying, oh boy, you just stay real quiet. Let's make this guy sweat for a little bit. But Daniel doesn't do that. What does he say? I mean, it's incredible. He says in verse 21, he said, my God, or verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. How could he say that? Because Daniel's serving a king greater than that king. You see, Daniel realized who he was being faithful to, and he received peace. He received protection. Number three, he received provision. Chapter 6, verse 28, the Bible says, so Daniel prospered. What are the rewards for faithfulness? I believe, number one, contentment. I believe, number two, a crown. So what are you getting at? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, those that strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned. I believe there's a crown for faithfulness. The Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians 9, 25, we an incorruptible crown. I believe those that have been faithful will take that crown and cast it right back at Jesus' feet. You see, my friend, God rewards those who are faithful to him. There is contentment. There is a crown. Number three, there's a commendation. My mom, when I was at Tennessee Temple University, I went there in 1982. Bob Jones, I forget when you guys started, but there's only a couple options back then. My dad had went to Temple Seminary before, so that's why we went to Tennessee Temple. And I went there in 1982 as a brand new freshman. I was 17 years old. My mom, to box TK 1125, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37404, my mom wrote me every single day I was in college for 5 years. I stretched a 4-year into a 5 when I changed from business to pastoral studies. She wrote me every day for 5 years. You say you're a mama's boy. I will meet you in the lobby and whip your tail afterwards. I'm not a mama's boy. I love my mama. My dad sent me an email the other day, and he said, Rusty, I want you to know it. How proud I am of you. I don't say that for my own commendation. I say that, let me tell you, do you know how much that meant to me? to know that I had a mom and dad who said, well done, son. I don't agree with all the circles David Ring rides in. David Ring has cerebral palsy. In fact, he preaches a message. He says, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? But I'll never forget what David Ring says in one of his messages. And I can't even sound like him. But here's what David Ring says with cerebral palsy. He says, when God pulls me out of the oven, I want him to say, well done. And you know what? I like that. You know what? Because if you and I are faithful, there is contentment beyond this world. There is a crown and there's a commendation. I love sports. My favorite illustration still makes the ESPN highlight reels. It was a game, Dallas against Green Bay. In fact, Dallas just played Green Bay. Green Bay won in the last few seconds recently as it was an incredible game toward the end. Dallas and Green Bay were playing years ago. In fact, if Green Bay scored, they would go to the Super Bowl. If Dallas held them, they would go. Right on the goal line there. And as they're there and all the guys are lined up, the famous coach, Vince Lombardi, calls a timeout. Bart Starr, that famous quarterback, runs over to the sideline to Vince Lombardi. And Vince Lombardi says this. He says, I want the play to run over Jerry Kramer. He said, you make sure that Jerry Kramer knows he's got a block. And so Bart Starr gets the signal. He understands what Coach Vince Lombardi says. Bart Starr starts to run back to the huddle, and Vince Lombardi calls him back. Bart goes back to Vince, and he says this, you tell Jerry Kramer the whole play, the whole game rides on him. Dallas Cowboy players said later on, you could tell it, you could see it in Jerry Kramer's eyes. They knew where the play was coming. As soon as that ball was hiked, Jerry Kramer, they said, knocked a hole that a Mack truck could drive through. And sure enough, Bart Starr, with a quarterback sneak there, scored through that hole. And I'm telling you, the place went wild. Jerry Kramer, as he tells the story, is on the bottom of the pile. And all of a sudden, as Jerry's trying to get his teammates off of him so he can get up and celebrate, he sees that his teammates have already gotten up and they've got Bart Starr on their shoulders and they're screaming, Bart, Bart, Bart. Jerry Kramer says, wait a minute. I made the hole. I'm the one that allowed him to get through. And Jerry Kramer says, I started to walk over to the sideline. I wasn't going to celebrate. He said, and then I saw him. My coach was standing there. His arms were folded. My coach was waiting to catch my eye. And then Vince Lombardi, Jerry said, did something I'll never forget. He looked at me and did this. He said, the one that mattered saw what I did. Jerry said, I started running back to that huddle and I started yelling, Bart, Bart, Bart. You know what, gang? One of these days it's going to be over for all of us. One of these days, the popcorn cups will be rustling in the stands, the scoreboard will be turned off, and the game will be over. But wouldn't it be awesome if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords looked at you and gave you a thumbs up because you were faithful? He will, if in your life, faithfulness does matter. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here at Bob Jones today. God, my prayer is that somebody got a fire lit under them. Somebody who may have been thinking about giving up realized that I can be faithful as I look to my God. Somebody, God, who has been faithful but just needed an encouraging word today. God, help us to realize there's a God in heaven who sees everything we do and loves us more than we'll ever realize. May we, across our tombstones, if you tarry, have one word, the word faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.